Now, in a moment, we're going to talk with what they call the modern-day Socrates, James Arthur Ray, in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. James Arthur Ray, President and CEO of James Ray International, a corporation dedicated to teaching individuals harmonic wealth, which simply means creating wealth in all areas of their lives, not just financially, but relationships, intellectually, physically, spirituality. His business was recently featured in the San Diego Business Journal as one of the most successful and fastest growing local businesses. And, you know, you might be aware that he is a philosopher who coined the genie analogy in the movie The Secret. I like that. Hey, James, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, George, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. We're going to have not only some fun with you tonight, but this is going to be fascinating. You're going to be on Larry King's show soon, aren't you?
I am, actually, Thursday night, the 16th.
Now, what's the topic there? Of course, what you talk about, but specifically, what does Mr. King want?
Well, he has got a show called Beyond Positive Thinking. And, you know, the whole premise is that positive thinking is not really what it's cracked up to be.
And what do you think?
Well, I think he's right. I think that positive thinking is one third of the equation. You know, a lot of people are running around talking about if you think about it, it comes about. Well, you know, if what you thought about came about, then when I was in high school, I would have been a busty cheerleader, you know, because there was one in particular, that's all I ever thought about. It's really only one third of the equation, though, George. I believe you have to practice what I call going three for three. Your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions all have to be in total alignment. And then when you go three for three, you can create whatever you want.
So they call you the modern-day Socrates, huh? How come?
Well, I think that's a big compliment. I appreciate that, and I think there's probably three reasons. First, Socrates challenged conventional thinking, and so much so that they said he poisoned the minds of children. And I think it's really critical that we begin to question and program what we've been handed and are still being handed from our outside influences. So I like to think that the individuals that are making a big difference in our world are like a flash of lightning across the collective thinking of our era. Secondly, you know, Socrates said that the unexamined life is not worth living. He was very introspective. And so I'm quite that way as well, and advocate that the people I work with do the same thing. You know, the Oracle of Delphi, as you went into the Oracle of Delphi, it said, "Know thyself, and you will know the secret of the universe and the powers of the gods." And then third, Socrates said that knowledge and virtue were inseparable, and that no one does it evil intentionally. And I believe that's true. I've believed and thought and observed for years that people are not their behaviors. You know, they choose to behave, but that's not who they truly are. They always do the best they can with the resources they're given. If they're given different resources, knowledges, experiences, insights, understandings, they're going to make better choices.
Well, you're the modern-day Socrates, though, but let's hope you don't get a goblet of hemlock.
Man, I'm
okay?
Glad that's not in vogue anymore.
My gosh, we don't need that.
For sure.
Interesting, though, how in his day, just because of the things he practiced and what he taught to people, they would put him to death for this.
Well, it's not that unusual, though, you know. Several people throughout history that brought radical ideas to the fore. And if you've probably heard it said before, George, that anytime a radical idea comes to the forefront, it goes through three phases. It's ridiculed, it's violently opposed, and then normally after the opposition dies, it's accepted as self-evident. And so there's been a lot of people. I mean, Giordano Bruno was burnt at the stake by the Catholic Church for saying that the earth revolved around the sun. So, you know, we've had a lot of things throughout history that have proven a little bit too radical for current-day thinking.
What is it, James, that makes you ponder the most? What question?
You know, I think that what makes me ponder the most these days is quantum physics. Quantum physics is the mysticism of the 21st century. You know, the physicists and the biologists, chaos theorists, are proving to us through scientific evidence what the mystics have told us since antiquity. You know, and so that's really where I think we're in exciting times. We're in times where spirituality George and science are realizing they're sister studies. They're not in opposition, and probably never were, but they just thought they were. And so I can talk to an audience or an individual from a scientific perspective, and they can't argue with me. If I talk to them from some of my shamanic teachings or the mystery schools of Egypt, they think I'm just some guy from California, you know.
Too new agey, right?
Exactly. So those kinds of things are those teachings now are telling us that we have the absolute ability to create anything we want, and when we understand how to tap into those, we certainly can.
You know, you've done a lot of work, but your two most recent books, of course, The Science of Success and Practical Spirituality, you know, and you say they do kind of mesh together, the science and I don't want to call religion, because I, like you, use the word spirituality quite a bit. And it does seem that both are forming, maybe even one day.
Yes. I think that they are, you know, like I said, sister studies, and many of the scientific minds now are quoting very spiritual concepts. You know, they give you an example. We all come from this same source, which physics has put many names on. They've called it the quantum hologram or the plenum, meaning fullness. My favorite is the zero-point field. But some scientists are now calling it the mind of God. I mean, these are scientists.
Yeah.
So it's really a time of great transition, and it's very exciting to me.
Use that phrase too, James. They do say the mind of God.
Yes, they do. They absolutely do. And so, you know, if you talk to a theologian and ask him or her what comprises all of the universe, they will say, well, God. God created all of the universe. We'll describe God. Well, he always has been, always will be, never can be created or destroyed, is always moving into form, through form, and out of form. You go to a scientist and say, what comprises the universe? He or she will say energy. We'll describe energy, and they'll use the same description. Same conversation, different terminology.
What do you mean by harmonic wealth? What is that?
Well, again, if we understand that everything in our universe is comprised of energy, your body is energy, your house, your car, your money, energy vibrates. And so one of the primary laws of the universe is the law of vibration, which says that everything has a resonance or a vibration. So harmony is to be in resonance. When you're in harmony, you can feel that in your body. And when you're in disharmony, you can feel that as well. Now, wealth, on the other hand, comes from the root of well-being. Many people believe that wealth is just money. And I contend you can go after the money and get rich. It doesn't mean you're going to be wealthy.
I agree with that.
Now, there might be some listeners out there, George, who are saying, I'd like to give that a shot, you know.
Well, many would rather have money than not, but it does not make you happy.
It doesn't, and so it makes you comfortable. And so wealth is really well-being. So harmonic wealth is this vibrational state of well-being in five key areas of your life. Financial, that's one of the pillars, but not the totality. Financial, relational, intellectual, physical, spiritual. And when all of those are in harmony or in concert, then they all work together and increase exponentially. And I have found, you know, as I travel all around the world, that's what people, whether they're consciously aware of it or not, that's what they really want. I'll give you an example. You know, I met a gentleman named Chuck. He was a multimillionaire, thriving dental practice, great relationship.
Self-made?
Yes, he was.
Okay.
He was healthy, fit. He had all kinds of toys, all kinds of trips, and yet he still felt unfulfilled. So if you look at the five pillars of harmonic wealth, he had the financial, he had the relational. I mean, he and his wife were singing. They really were. Intellectually, he was strong. Physically, he was fit. But the spiritual component was missing. When he came to me, he wanted more, and he thought that he was going to build his business. But what really happened was he started a spiritual quest. And now his life is totally turned around because all five pillars are firing simultaneously.
You know, in my case, James, I was always doing what I wanted to do. I've been in broadcasting some form or fashion since I was 19 years old. I started making $2 an hour. I was happy, and I'm happy now. And though I'm making a little bit more than
$4 an hour now,
that's right. I mean, it's what I wanted to do. It's waking up in the morning, saying, you know what, this is fun, and you know, and I did that all the time. It didn't matter what that check looks like, and I think that's important for people to understand.
You're so very right, George. And it's not the first time. It's probably the hundredth and hundredth of times I've heard that. You know, I suggest that every single person like yourself, and you're extremely successful. I mean, I know the span of the influence of what you're doing here. Every single person who reaches the pinnacle of their profession does not get there because they're pursuing the money. They just don't. If you doubt me, let's look at Gates. Bill Gates, he's got a buck or two.
Yeah.
You know, Gates stepped down as president, CEO of Microsoft, and why didn't he just retire and drink margaritas? You know, he could. But when he was interviewed, he said, I want to get more involved in research, development, product innovation. You know, Bill is doing what he loves, and the money comes as a byproduct of doing something you love and doing it very well.
Exactly. You know, it becomes a challenge. It becomes something to shoot for, to measure whether what you're doing is successful, quote unquote. But I love your approach to, you know, being financially successful does not mean you're internally wealthy. And so many people need to understand that. How did you start doing what you're now doing?
Well, I started off in sales at AT&T, and I did really well. But in fact, let me go back further than that. I was a weird kid, George.
Weren't we all?
Weird is good. You know, I was that kid that was skinny and scrawny and buck teeth and thick glasses and not accepted at all.
Well, I won't go that far with me.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have one date in high school. I really was the outcast. But in retrospect, it was the greatest gift because I started studying Buddhism when I was 18 years old in the household of a Protestant minister, which was kind of unusual.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I cannot remember a time in my life where the most important thing to me, or there was anything more important than understanding the laws of the universe and how they applied to every area of life and figuring things out. And so that really started as an early age, starting attempting to meditate and study the great world teachings and those type of things. And it's really served me ever since. In my career, I got into AT&T, and then I left there and started my own business in 92 and started really pursuing my true passion of teaching people, you know, how to create harmonic wealth and how to really step into their full potential.
And also, I guess, you're a motivator.
Well, I like to think that I'm an inspirator. Is that a word?
Inspirator?
Yeah. I inspire people. You know, here's how I define it, George. I believe that motivation is something that comes from outside of you or someone does to you. When you're inspired, it comes through you. And it kind of goes back to what you were saying earlier about you've always been in your career because you love it. You're inspired by it. And when you're inspired by something, no one has to motivate you. I mean, you'll stay up till 2 a.m. You won't even remember what time it is, you know, because you're working on something that you're passionate about and you're enthusiastic. So that's really my goal, is to help the individuals I work with find their purpose in life and find their inspiration and tap into that fully.
Give us, if you can, the most incredible case of someone who was so down and out, and you were able to help turn them around.
Well, I can give you so many of those. Let me tell you about Lou. When I met Lou, his body fat was 40%. Now, that's pretty high if you know anything about body fat percentages. He was just doing okay, marginal, investment advisor, okay in his business. He couldn't for the life of him attract and keep a healthy mate or this romantic relationship that we all want in our lives. And really, by looking at him, other than being a little, you know, out of shape and overweight, he was a good-looking guy and he was intelligent. He began working with me, and in less than a year, he started to apply some of these principles. And again, I go back to three for three: thoughts, feelings, and actions. He began to think differently. He began to feel differently. And that's key, because in a vibrational, energetic universe, it's the feeling that is the vibration. He began to feel differently and act boldly upon those new thoughts and feelings. In less than a year, he called me to stand up in his wedding, which I did. He's now married to his dream mate. They got a lovely daughter. His body fat's down to 18%. And he turned his annual income into a monthly income in a year. And so, pretty successful story, and you know, there's many, many of those. It's not that difficult to turn your life around dramatically if you really understand how the universe works.
Okay, now how can the person who, let's say money isn't a motivator for the person or an inspiration, but you know, he can make enough money to get a nice car and maybe pay an apartment and go out once in a while. And maybe he's got a family, maybe he doesn't. But he, you know, he makes let's say $35,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And can that person create around himself where he is physically, spiritually, and relationship-wise happy with a figure that in some cases, some people, I know my son would be jumping for joy at that kind of salary, and maybe one day he'll get to that level.
At 35K.
I was at that level, you know, a few years ago, and I was happy. Can you carve out a happy living around that kind of income stream?
Yes, you can, because happiness, George, is something that comes from within. It's not about, and you've heard it said before, but it's so true. It's not about what you do, it's about who you are. It's not about what you have, it's about who you are. And the irony of it all is that if you get up every morning and you're putting your full energy and attention upon how out of shape, broke, and overweight you are, then you're secretly in love with your expanding waistline and your empty wallet. And you're feeding that because energy flows where attention goes. And science proves that now. However, if you get up every morning and you put your attention upon how much health you already have and all the goodness that already exists in your life, then it's like magic. More goodness flows to you. So what we must learn to do is to put our attention upon the things that we truly want in our lives, and that will make us happy because that comes from within. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it sure does. It sure does. And we're going to talk a lot about that tonight. Practical spirituality. Tell me about that. What does that mean?
Well, I find that we live in a time, George, where people are ready to soar into the realms of the mystic, but they don't want to give up the joys of earth. And we've got this misnomer that to be spiritual, we have to walk around in white robes, eat lots of legumes, and never have sex. You know? And I don't know about you, George.
Well, two out of three is not bad.
If that's spirituality, I don't want any part of it. You know, and most people don't either. And so where we are today, I believe, is an integration. We're looking for an integrated way of living, which I've called harmonic wealth, but where we realize that we can be spiritual and still enjoy all the splendor and the gifts that the earth has to offer us. And there's no division between the two, because where is spirit not? If quantum physics and religion both tell us that everything comes from one source, then anytime you damn any part of creation, you damn God.
Friend of mine is nursing her aunt who is got cancer, and they went to the doctor today, and the doctor with a very cold face, James, said, well, you know what, most people who have cancer at your stage will be dead within 2 months, and you had it about the 2 months too long. I mean, with just no personality,
right?
Very cold, obviously financially successful. But, I mean, where's the guy who gives somebody hope?
Well, I hope the guy is on this phone tonight, you and me. You know, let me tell you about Colleen. When I met Colleen earlier this year, she had been committed twice to institutions for attempting to commit suicide. She was diagnosed as bipolar. She came through my Harmonic Wealth Weekend, and she began to understand that she bought into a lie. She was on 12 different addictive medications. She couldn't get up or get down without a medication. They were all addictive. She was on medication to deal with the other medications, which you know is pretty common. Long story short, fast forward to the end of the year. She now is off 3 months after I began working with her, by the way, off every single medication. Fast forward to the end of the year, she's received two promotions in her job, highly functional. You see, when you begin to understand who you are and what your capabilities are, then you can turn those things around. And there's a lot of cases to prove that.
We'll be back. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, along with our guest tonight, James Ray Arthur. James, in addition to everything you've done, the things that you have taught people, astral projection is one of them. How in the world do you mix that with what you do?
Well, I'm a practical mystic, George.
Ah, yes. You are.
I really believe, as I've said, that we need to have a wealth of opportunities and experiences, both spiritual, mystical, as well as practical, and they're not mutually exclusive. And so the individuals that I work with over long periods of time, typically they come to me and they want to have a better relationship, get in better shape, and make more money. And then what they begin to realize is that as life unfolds, that there's a lot more things out there than what we see in the third dimension, and we experience through our sensory factors, which you're aware of, I know.
Yes. You know, I had an OBE, astral projection when I was 11, 12 years old, never able to duplicate it again. Do you do this freely at will?
Well, yes and no. I think what we need from my perspective, is we need to kind of define what this is. I had an extreme. My first OBE was when I was in high school. I got in a auto accident when I was a senior in high school, and I was driving a Fiat. I don't know if you've ever.
Oh, I remember those.
Yeah, little bitty car.
Yeah.
And it just got
Italian
smashed.
Cars, right?
Yeah, yeah. The door opened backwards and everything, and so I found myself hovering above the car, looking down at the commotion going on beneath me, and thinking, "Wow, that's kind of interesting." And so that was my first experience that way, and I really didn't quite know what to make of it. But like I said, I was a weird kid, so. You know, those type of things started happening. And then when I was probably, after I took my first, I've been initiated into three shamanic orders. And after my very first initiation into a order of Huna, I don't know if you've heard of that.
Order of Huna?
Yeah.
I have not.
Huna is the ancient spiritual traditions of the South Pacific, the Hawaiian Islands.
Huna.
Yeah. And, so nonetheless, I took my initiation in Huna for the first time, and I came back and had rather bizarre things happening. It felt like, and it's very hard, as you know, George, to put these kinds of things into words, but it was almost like my body was moving by itself, and I was looking through my face, but I wasn't really my face or my body, and that doesn't do it justice. But I was in this, you know, if you're familiar with the Eastern term of the watcher.
Yes.
I was in this watcher mode for about 6 weeks, and it was just incredibly amazing. And then the pinnacle of that was I was driving on the 5 highway in San Diego, going to visit my parents one afternoon, and I blew out of my car. And this wasn't with volition. It just happened. And I was in every car. I could hear every radio. I felt like I could hear everyone's thoughts. And here I am driving probably 70 miles an hour down the 5. Quite frightening. And then I zapped back in to my car again. I was like, whoa. So that was probably the most frightening experience I had with that type of thing. But we astral project. You know, long answer to your question, every single one of us astral projects every night, in my opinion. You know, we move outside of the conscious mind into the other realms or other dimensions that string theory and quantum physics even tell us exist now. So it's a matter of learning to do that with volition.
I have heard from people who have astral projected, OBEs,
mm-hmm.
and they have talked about going through various levels, 6 or 7 different stages and levels. But in some cases, in some levels, James, they have been frightened to death. Some feared that they would never return. Others feared that their bodies would be possessed while they were out of their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Others talk about these demons that are in these locations. Has this ever happened to you?
Well, it has, and here's my real practical explanation of that. You know, Carl Prebram was an award-winning, Nobel Prize-winning neurophysicist, and he really proved that there's nothing outside of us that isn't projected from inside of us. You know, and on the Emerald Tablet, 2,000 years B.C., it was carved, you know, as above, so below, as within, so without. And so those things that we meet, those entities, are really just a part of us in some way, shape, or fashion. That's why, I mean, in study of hallucinogenics, one individual can take a hallucinogenic and go to the extreme heaven. Another individual can take the same one and go to the pit of hell, because it doesn't give us anything that isn't already in us. It just puts the conscious mind away, and we tend to address and confront and meet those parts of ourselves or those projections of ourselves that we haven't learned to deal with yet in many cases.
But you do not believe then that someone who may be dabbling with this can get possessed while they're out?
Oh, I think it's not something to dabble with, quite frankly. I think it's really important to know what you're doing and to do it, you know, judiciously and methodically with a good teacher, you know, like read your book, which I haven't had the opportunity to do yet, but I know that you've written a lot on these type of things. And there's others out there as well that teach these kinds of things. But it's not something that is foreign to us. It's just something that's foreign to our conscious mind, if you will. Every single night we go into dream time, and that's an astral projection. I mean, when we're in that dream, we believe it's absolutely real, and we have no feeling or sensation of our body.
Well, I want to talk about dreams for a moment, James, maybe even for the rest of this hour before we get into some other topics in next hour, because you have hit it right on the head. In that dream state, you have an ability, if you know how, to do some incredible things. It sounds like you've tapped into this.
Well, I have, and it's taken a lot of practice. But the thing that again, I would advocate we all understand is that this is the dream state right now. You know, according to quantum physics, now quantum physicists are not only calling that zero-point field the mind of God, but quantum physicists are saying that quantum physics proves that our world is psychedelic. Now, what we know about psychedelics is that they don't give us anything that isn't within us. And so this is a dream state right now. It's a lucid dream that we call the third dimension. And we were just so conditioned since the time we're children to believe that it's, quote, real, that we think those other states are not real. But they are every bit as much real. And here's the cool thing, George. When you know this, I'm sure, and the individuals I've taught and as I practice this in my own life, when you learn to control the dream time with volition, with willpower, then you begin to transition that over time into this third dimensional dream as well and create things in this dimension much more rapidly and elegantly.
Well, this is something that is so important to people, but what is difficult to understand is why does it work? What is out there that triggers this ability?
Well, I think it's a matter of the evolution of consciousness. As you said, I have an event called Modern Magic, which is 8 days in Kona in April every year, and it's highly mystical. I do everything from, you know, the Harmonic Wealth Weekend, which is real practical about creating practical results, to Modern Magic, which is highly mystical. We get into shamanism and Egyptian mythology and tarot and all these kinds of things. But in that session, I teach some methodologies to begin to develop the ability to lucid dream. And those help, and they work. And by and large, as your consciousness evolves and expands, you'll begin to do that as well. Anyway, maybe you're familiar with the station method. This is one that I was taught in Huna, as well as from the Yaqui tradition, which is a shamanic tradition.
Right.
Which basically, you're asking the question throughout your day, is this a dream? Which doesn't seem like a big deal. But as you develop that habit, then you begin to go into the dream time and ask the question as well, is this a dream? And you'll begin to notice that you start to develop conscious abilities as your consciousness abilities expand within that dream.
Now, when you try to work with people, when you try to train people, do they understand why they're there in the first place, what they need?
Not always, no. We've done psychographic and demographic studies of our graduate base, and most people come to us, say they want, you know, more money, is number one, better relationships, and, you know, more health and fitness. And that's cool. I mean, I can help them do that, and I've got, you know, reference after reference after.
All right, let's talk about each one.
Okay.
Because I do think a lot of people need help in different areas. They need a boost. They need someone from the outside. But let's talk about why. I mean, why would someone go to you and say, I want to make more money? And then what are some of the things you do to approach that?
Well, first of all, what I help them, why they come to me is because everyone needs an outside input. You know, it's very difficult to look objectively at your life and what you're doing. And so, you know, if you can get someone who you resonate with that can give you objective input, kick you in the butt sometimes when you need to be kicked, and coddle you when you need to be coddled, and everything in between, then that's helpful for all of us. All of us, even when you teach these things. And so that's the why. And then what I begin, for money, for instance, what I begin to do is help people understand that nothing is ever missing in your life. Now, that's a real shocker for most people, because we tend to think that there are things that are missing in our life.
Right.
For instance, you know, here's a guy, Mickey, who came to me a little less than two years ago. He was going through the middle of a bad divorce, 60 pounds overweight, and just barely making ends meet financially. And he said, "God, you know, I don't have any money. I don't have any fitness. All these type of things, constantly putting his attention upon what wasn't there." And what we know in quantum physics, there's a principle called the observer effect, which basically says you get what you're looking for. If you're looking for all the things that are wrong in your life, those are going to expand. If you're looking for all the things that are wonderful, then that's going to expand. And that's the observer effect in quantum physics, the most widely accepted principle in law in quantum physics.
Isn't it a mindset where you're basically training your mind to think positively about certain actions and to erase this negativity, which brings you down in any area you want?
Well, it's thinking differently, absolutely. But as I said before, it's really critical to understand the 3-for-3 concept. You've got to think, and you've got to feel it, and you've got to act upon it. For instance, let's forget Mickey for a moment. Let's talk about Jack. Jack Gibson came to me, and he was barely making ends meet. He was just scraping by $2,000 a month, just grunting and groaning, and he was always thinking about and feeling broke all the time. Looking at his bills, looking at his debts, always feeling like he was horribly in debt. In fact, when I asked him, "What do you want to do?" he said, "I want to get out of debt." Now, that's not that unusual. But you see, the mind can't process the negative, George.
Right, right.
And so if you say, I don't want to think about debt, you have to think about what not to think about,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's what he's doing. He's giving all his energy and attention to debt. So what I quickly had him do was put together a debt retirement program. And he said, "Well, I can't afford to debt retire." Yes, you can. It doesn't matter whether it's $20 or $200.
Yeah, it may take longer, but you can do that.
Exactly. Set it in motion. Make it automated if possible, and then forget about it and put all your energy and attention upon creation, innovation, and the things that you want in your life. Well, in less than 3 months, he had tripled his income, $6,500 a month. My office talked to him 3 weeks ago. He's up to over $13,000 a month, and it's still climbing. He's stoked. And it was just a matter of beginning to shift his attention and put it in a direction that was creative for his life. When you go 3-for-3, thoughts, feelings, action, and that's, I didn't talk about the action piece, but he began to think about creation innovation. He began to feel the prosperity and the wealth that he already had in his life, and he began to act and move forward boldly in that direction, and the results spoke for themselves.
Oh, well, what about relationships? I mean, why do people need help in trying to find a relationship?
Well, because most people feel like they're attracting, or they're in dysfunctional relationships, or they're attracting a mismatch, right?
All right.
Well,
and maybe they are.
Well, I disagree with that, George. No one is ever mismatched in a relationship, because the law of attraction basically says that we attract who we are. We attract to us like energies.
Don't opposites attract each other?
Well, opposites on the physical plane attract. Similarities on the emotional and the spiritual plane attract. And so that's where, you know, people say opposites attract, but that's only on the physical plane. The emotionally similarities attract. And so, you know, Carl Jung said that when an unconscious issue is not made conscious, it shows up outside of us as fate. And so what's happening is there are unconscious, unresolved emotional issues that are putting forth energies consistently, and you're attracting into your life your unresolved issues. and they're showing up in your mate. See, and that's the rub, isn't it? I mean, it is short term, but the things that aggravate you the most about your mate are the things that you haven't learned to love and embrace about yourself yet.
That's interesting.
That's why, haven't you heard someone say George at least once in your life? You're like, holy smokes, you know, he's got different hair, a different body, a different job, a different name, and it's the same guy I was with 5 years ago, right?
Well, or pieces of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we're doing is the universe is so perfect, it's continually throwing a mirror up in front of us to say, hey, here you are. You going to deal with this yet or not? And that's relationally. It's financially. Here you are. You're thinking, feeling broke. And guess what? Here's your bills. You going to deal with it? You going to change this inside or not? When you change it inside, the outside changes.
So the guy who puts $50 a week away, which on the face of it doesn't seem like a lot,
right,
ends up putting away $200 a month toward extra bills. Eventually, he whittles them down if he doesn't put himself back in the hole.
But you know what else happens, George, is he begins to say, I've got money. Even if it's $200, I've got money.
Yep.
And he starts to feel differently. And so then what I recommend that he or she does in about 3 months is they increase it by 10 or 20%, which, you know, 10 or 20% isn't a big deal.
It adds up.
So they're putting away $200, so now they're putting away $220. I've got money. I'm starting to see it add up. You know, and so that creates a different feeling. There's that vibration, a different action, and a different result.
You know, if a 21-year-old could save $2,000 or $3,000 a year and just put it in the bank, do you know how much they'll be worth when they're my age, 56?
Tell me.
I'd say about $500,000 easy.
Yeah.
Easy.
Easy. Yeah, I mean, every single one of us has made a million or multiple millions in our life. It's just a matter of what we've done with them, done with it.
Well, that's true. I'll do that over 50 years. Now, with changing your physical characteristics, same items, same recommendations?
Yeah, well, you know, Marilyn. Here's another example.
Let's take Marilyn at the top of the hour. I can't believe this hour's already zoomed by.
Well,
that's another thing. How come time's going by so fast, James?
Because time is an illusion. We can talk about that one, too.
Okay, we'll do that. James's website, jamesray.com. You can go find it right now with a link up at coasttocoastam.com. And we're talking about his work in developing really a different life for all of us.